We left off talking about the end of the sugya in terms of time. Let's see if we can try to wrap up the sugya. Maybe we can get to a little bit of a head start to the next sugya. So just to recap, we're up to our mission was very, very clear that when a get arrives from Eretz Yisrael, there is no need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. We assume that number one, the Beis Din that wrote it was proficient enough to know that it has to be written Shema. And more important for our purposes of Taninan is that we assume that if and when we have a question on this get, we'll have ample ways of dealing with it. We'll be able to be Mekayim Mishtah, we'll be able to find witnesses who will recognize the signatures. And therefore, we're pretty comfortable just giving this get to the woman and let her be. The question becomes, why don't we as a Beis Din have to go the extra mile? Why aren't we required to protect the potential interests of the husband? If the husband's not here, why don't we go up to bat for the husband and say, we're going to suggest that maybe this get is bizarre. It's possible that this get is a forgery, and therefore she will have to then do due diligence to go to the Kaye Ishtar. Why don't we go that extra mile to protect the innocent interests of the husband? That's the question that Tosfos raises. So Tosfos says that fundamentally we do that in other areas of halacha, such as in Didi Mamonos. If such a case would come up in terms of Didi Mamonos, we would do that. If Reuven walks into the Beis Din and tries to collect money from Shimon, and Shimon's nowhere around, so we're not going to just let Reuven take the money and deal with the problem later. We're going to represent Shimon's interests. We're going to do what's called, Nish says, we're going to be towing on behalf of Shimon. So why don't we do that when it comes to Tochus Kid? That's the question that Tochus raises. So there are two different routes to go down to solution to that problem. So one solution is to say that Gittin is different than Donetsk countries. It means you're right. Fundamentally, we do say Ta'aninan Mizuyuf. We have no qualms, we have no hesitations of saying Ta'aninan on Mizuyuf. But by a get, we're not going to go around to do that for a variety of reasons. Either simply because we should be guna, that's what Tosfos said, we don't want to make life too difficult for the woman. Or as the Ramban said, that the woman is not mamono shalabal, it's not the mamonos altogether, so it doesn't lend itself to Ta'aninan. So those two approaches were all within that mindset that fundamentally we do say Mizuyuf. We should say Mizuyuf. We would say Mizuyuf. We do say Mizuyuf by the mamonos, but over here, for some reason, technical reason, we're not going to. Then you have the whole other side of the equation, which Tosfos and Tosfos Rosh presented. Mizuyuf, we do not say. Finish. There's no way a Beis Din is going to get up and say, we suspect this get is a forgery. Well, the joke is that it's a farce to say that. The odds that a shtar was forged is a milsuk lo shtar. So Beis Din is limited in what they can and cannot say Mizuyuf on. I'm sorry, can and cannot say Tanin, we cannot say Tanin on something that's a milsuk lo shtar. So in proving that we probably do say Ta'anid and Adina Mamanis. So Tosfos put the following out. Let's go back now to the second of the Mamakobos, because Tosfos is about to unravel some of the things that they said until now. So comes Tosfos, the second of the Mamakobos, and says, it's not Tosfos over again. The Mi'eshon already said, Kol Zvad L'Osi Ba'al Ma'ar, as long as the husband hasn't shown up, Nises Apia Get, we will let her get married based on this get, V'lo Ta'anid Mezuv. Why? Because of the special leniency, we don't want to make life too difficult for her. But in the parallel case, such as Dine Mamanis, Tanin Mizuyev, we will in fact declare Mizuyev, the Nifresh Lobafan. If somebody tries to collect money when the other person's not there, Ume Yisomim, or we try to take from the person's heirs, Ume the Kuchos, we try to collect from somebody that he sold. The Imloke, this is Tosis Rabbah. I'm going to prove to you, Sistosis. You have to say Mizuyuf. It's incumbent upon Beis Din to yell and scream Mizuyuf on behalf of the innocent people. The Imlaket, if you don't say what we're saying, Lo Shafkes Chayel Choberia, you will not, literally no one can live life will not go on. Why? Shiocha kol adam lichtov shtab rovo lahachten eidim eyatzel. Let's just open the yisov. The middle of the house. If you don't say what they're saying, says Tav says, you're opening yourselves up for a terrible, terrible dishonesty. I want to get $100,000 from you. So I'll wait until you go out of town. I'll get two fellows to forge a document. I come into Beis Din, and Beis Din sounds good. Eidim achasim al shtar, nasach mishtech v'dusun. Shtar looks like it's good, but it's good. There's no one around to say mizuyav. So if Tosa says, if we're as Beis Din, we as Beis Din are not going to step up to the plate to defend the innocent bystanders, it's going to be an avlo, it's going to be a terrible, terrible corruption of justice. That's Tosa's raya. So Tosa's now backpedals and says, you know what? Maybe that's not such a good raya. Maybe there are other ways to protect interests of innocent people without saying that seemingly absurd conclusion, mizuyav. You can see that Tosa's, it's paving the balitai. They don't want to say mizuyav. It's too strange. It's too bizarre to say mizuyav. We try at all costs to avoid it. So what other possibility can we do to protect the innocent bystanders? The Tosas continues. Let's go after the bold print. Says Tosas, that proof that otherwise you're opening up for corruption is not a good proof. Even if we don't say mizuyav, tanina lehu parua. Came to Atzlav and name of Paru Midi by Mizuyah. Says Tosas, we have another option available to Beis Din. I work at the Beis Din with a document that says Reuben owes me $100,000. Reuben's nowhere to be found. So Beis Din is scrounging around and looking at the list of titles. What can we do to protect the innocent bystander? To say Mizuyah, it's unlikely. I have no idea, says Tosas. Let the Beis Din simply say, maybe the shtar was paid up already. Parua, maybe the shtar was already paid. Between the new sisters, that's not crazy. People pay back chavos, except for those people waiting for the proceeds. Most people pay back their chavos, sometimes, hopefully. So says those is, to say mezuyah, that's a stretch. To say parua is very likely. And therefore, Tosis comes up with the following pshara, that we can literally have a cake and eat it. We can protect the innocent people by tying parua, and we don't have to put ourselves in the corner and say something that we don't really believe is true in the first place. So Tosas literally made up a new Tanina. So Tanina on part B. Don't say Tanina Mizuyev. Too unlikely. Say Tanina on Parua. We have to go to the next step to understand what Tosas is saying. Where did this Tanina Parua come from? So let's put Tosas on the back burner for a second. Let's put Tanina on the back burner for a second. Let's talk about two Bali did, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven walks into Beis Din with a document that says that Shimon owes him $1,000. And Shimon gives the following response at payback. What's the law? Well, forget about Beis Din, the Taninans, no getting the base. Simple ABCs, look at starting with Nathan Dinamomas. Reuven has a document that says you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I did owe you in the past. I paid you back last week. Where do we go from here? So the Gemara says very, very clearly that Shimon's response is not a valid response per se. It's not a valid response. Why? Simple Reuven's counter response. What are you doing with the document for? What do I still have the document for? If it's really true that you paid me back, you should have insisted on the document back. At least give me a receipt, something. I should have given you a receipt, something. So says Gemara in many, many places that the response of Parua on its own merits is absolutely worthless, is meaningless. However, as we've seen many, many times in the Imamunus, we spent a lot of time on these kinds of sugars last year, Chesabatim. Very often you can have it in Torah, but one of the Balindinim is advancing a Taina, and that Taina per se is not believable. That Taina per se is going to lose. But I have in my back pocket, I could have said something else. So that's what the Gemara calls amigo. Believe me to say Taina A, not because Taina A per se is believable, but believe me to say Taina A, Migo that I could have said Taina B, and if Taina B would have been believable, then guess what? I wouldn't have done Torah Migo. How Migo works? What was the Migo? That's maybe a loaded. I got a chaz last year as a shiur for that. But the bottom line is Migo works. Migo is a sugi, many, many sugis in Shas that subscribe to this principle called Migo. So come to the Gemara and Ksubas, and now suggest the following. When I come to you and I say, you owe me $1,000, and you respond back, I paid already, let's isolate those words. I paid you back. Is that believable? Not believable. But what could you have said? You could have said the shtar is a forgery. Because as long as the shtar wasn't mekuyev yet, as long as we haven't authenticated the signatures, in theory you could have said mezuyev. Because I do accept your tithe observed. Whether we as a Beis Din are going to say it's a different story. That's just this debate. But you yourself, if you would say Mezuyah, Mishnah says explicitly you would say Mezuyah. So now we have the following Niko. Listen to this one. I say to you, I lent you $1,000. Here's a document. And you say I paid you back. So Beis Din sitting and deliberating, listening. Is that a responsible? Is that a legitimate response? So the answer is not really. Per se, it's not, because Shtach Yad my boy, but it may still be believed based on the Migo. So that's a big machlokes the Gemara. We pasuk in the halacha that in fact it would be believed based on the Migo. So there is a new concept out there called Nemanus Loma Parua Migo de Mezuyah. Now, the minute that I, as the Malta, do Kiyam Sharos, then the game's over for you, because then you no longer have that Migo. You can't say Mezuyah if you have Kiyam Sharos. Wait, hold up. We're up to Tosia. We're just keeping to the two Balaidim themselves. Again, Shimon had two responses. One was Mezuyah, one was Parua. Parua really shouldn't win, but it does win based on the principle of Migo.
But Migo works when someone
named
to come in and prove
he's
a liar. At the Migo
world. No, Migo's not going to. If Aiden says he's a liar, he's a liar. And
the openness of Migo is that if we found out he's a liar later.
No. Migo is simply based on the fact that I'm probably telling the truth. If I would have wanted to lie, I would have lied the lie that was available to me easily.
I thought you said that the Migo wasn't good because it doesn't mean
he wins
the case,
right?
It just gets him to the point where.
But it gets him to the point. You know, it wins the case, calls about the other fellow does. The minute that the other guy does keep shows, that he loses with Titus Peru, right? So he's on hold. He can win the case provided that the other fellow can't keep shows. You know, it wins. So now Tosfos comes up with the following theory. It says Tosfos, now Beis Din steps up to the plate. We have to say something. We cannot let this go on. That Reuben's going to walk in with a document saying Shimon owes $100,000. Shimon's out of town for the next 6 months. There's no way in the world we're going to give Reuben Shimon's money. We have to say something. Otherwise, as Tosfos said, otherwise we create a system that's going to be impossible to deal with. It's going to be a breach of justice. So it comes. Joseph says, what are we going to say? We're going to say Mezuyah. We're going to say Parua. Let's walk through our options. Basin's reading off the list of possible Taninos. Mezuyah, we don't like to say Mezuyah. Why don't we like to say Mezuyah? We don't like to say Mezuyah because it's not normal. It's a Milsalot Shefa. So scratch that one. We're going to say Parua. Ooh, that's normal. That's okay. That's more believable. We're going to say Parua. So somebody taps the Dayanim on the shoulder and says, wait a second. Shimon Arabo said, wait a second. You don't want to say Mezuyah because it doesn't sound right. You are going to say Parua. You forgot the word Subas. The only reason why Parua is believed is Migo, you could have said Mezuyah. And you couldn't have said Mezuyah because you yourselves just said that you're not going to say Mezuyah. So you're talking in circles. Mezuyah, you don't want to say because it's uncommon. Parua, you'd like to say because it's more common, but Parua is not believable on its own merits because Parua is staring in the face, Shtarch of Yad, my boy. So the whole koach, the only legitimacy of Titus Parua is a Migo de Mezuyah, which you yourself don't have because you just got finished telling me a second ago. You're not going to say Tanin and Mezuyah. So you're literally walking around in circles.
Shtar
is worth a lot, except that there are certain titles that can offset a Shtar. So in Achinavi, Min HaTorah, Shtar carries the day and no title works against the Shtar. But the Mishnah is telling us that the Chabim did accept Titus Mezuyah. So once they accept the Titus Mezuyah, then the male they have to accept Titus Parua based on the principle of Migo. It's true, it's unusual, but it is a Taina. Once Chazal accepted it, it is a Valentine.
Every Shtar can always be authenticated. Isn't the idea of the Shtar that you have something that shows?
Because you've been convinced by Rish Lakish that Min HaTorah, you're right. Eid Machasiro Shtar Kinasik Meshnas Mezuyah. But that's exactly what Chazal changed. And the Gibran Masechas Gittin, that they were concerned that since there are some people out there who are forging shtaros, we're going to give the ability to the other fellow to insist on keeping shtaros. You're 100% right. The Min HaTorah, once the document's done, deal, delivered, it's finished. The game's over. But Min Rabbanan, that was changed. So how do you address this phenomenon now? This bizarre phenomenon that we're saying Taninan on something that we really is not a good Taninan. We're only saying it Migo of something else, but we're not going to say the Migo. We wouldn't say the original times. How do you explain this phenomenon? Tosfos says, that's the way it is. Tosfos dug up a Gemara in Masechus Baba Basra, a complicated Gemara Baba Basra in the fourth parak, which they believe is the source for this idea. Tosfos makes reference to the Let's take a look at the 10th of the Mamakamos, which tells us that the Vasa is just the Gemara. Rav Basra is talking about similar tainas, but there's a very, very important piece of information that's changed. We're talking about a case where Reuven gave Shimon an object, not alone. He gave him a pikadon to watch, and he wrote a shtar to that effect. So Reuven gave him a card to be watched for a week. He doesn't trust Shimon 100%, so everything is signed and sealed and delivered. There's a document that says that Shimon is hereby watching my car for the next week. Reuven comes at the end of the week, and he says, he'd like his car back. So what does Shimon respond? Shimon says, I gave it back to you 3 days ago. Who wins the dintar right then and there? So again, it's not a whole vlog. It's a pikadon. So the chora, we go with the same rules that we thought about before. Namely, shtar chaviyot, my boy. I have a document saying, I gave you a car to watch. I still have a document saying I gave you a car to watch. There's no car. If you claim that you returned the car, where can you return the car? If you truly returned the car, so we should have ripped up the document. Should have at least insisted on a receipt. So shtar should be out of my boy. So it sounds like it's a no-brainer. The same way that by a halvah, you have no koach to say the parati. By a pikadon, you have no koach to say hechzarti. Hechzarti to pikadon is the equivalent of parati to a halvah. So comes the Gemara of the Basra and says, wait a second. When you are asked for that car, you have another taina in your back pocket. There is something that you could have said. Forget about Mezuyev. Let's say the Shaz Bakuyev. What other taina is available to you as the shomer of the car? Very simple. You could have said, the car, I'm so sorry, the car was hit by lightning. The car was taken away by a tsunami. The car's nensu, the car's not here anymore. You would be believed. If you're a Shomer Chinam, you're a Shomer Sach, whatever you want, except for Shomer. If you're a regular Shomer on an item, if an onus happens, so you win, you're believed, provided that you do what? Provided that you take a Shavuah. Okay, well, we'll pause, we'll get you into the Shavuah with a separate time. We'll make you take a Shavuah. We're very nice. But the Ikaron, fundamentally, when you respond, Nenas, that the Bikodon was destroyed, the Bikodon is no longer here, it wasn't your fault. Fundamentally, you believe. Again, you have to touch it up. You have to support a little bit with Shmuel, but fundamentally, you're going to win the tournament. You didn't say that. You said that you returned the car, which you're not intrinsically believed to say because I have a shtar against you. So comes the Gemara of Masha and says, guess what? Guess what magic word? Three-letter word is going to come to help you now. Nigo. Believe me to say that I returned the car against the shtar, against all proofs. Believe me to say I returned the car. Migo, I could have said that the car was hit by lightning. Comes Gemara and says, that's good. That's okay. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Comes Gemara of Basra and goes one step further. Comes Gemara of Basra and says, not only are you believed to say that, but if you're not even alive anymore, and I'm dealing with your Yisomim, with your Yarshim, and they know nothing. They don't know whether the car, they don't even know there was a car in the first place. They don't know there was a car. They don't know it was returned. They don't know it was hit by lightning. They know nothing. Beis Din steps up to the plate. Tosfos claims that Beis Din will step up to the plate and say the father must have returned it. Migo did Nansu. That's okay. That's fine. So comes Tosfos and says that's Tanina. That's perfectly acceptable, legitimate Tanina. Even though, says Tosfos, why don't we say Tanina Nansu itself? Forget about Migo the Nansu. Why don't we just say Tanina Nansu, says Tosfos, because it's not common. It's a Milsa Lo Shlicha. Sounds familiar. Sounds like the model is familiar. The Taina of Nansu is absurd. It's as unlikely as a Taina of Mezuyev, says Tosfos. Just because we don't say Tanina on something because it's absurd and it's unlikely, we will say Tanina on something else which builds off the unlikeliness. That is okay. That is not a violation of the Tanina. So a lot of complicated Tosfos cases flying around. The bottom line, Acharei Kiflosakosas Tosfos, forget about Gittin and Dina Mamonis, we are going to go up the bat. We're going to protect interests of Yisomim, Lakukos, people who are out of town. We're going to say anything and everything that we can say on their behalf. We're not going to say crazy things, things that have no slow shrikas that we can't, with a straight face, basically can't risk the reputation of saying things that are absurd. But we will steal Migos, we will use Migos, we'll take any Migo under the sun to say on your behalf, even though the original time that we tackled did not say. So this is a theme that permeates from the Basra, permeates Gittin. It's the koach of Tanina. Tanina breaks all the rules. The only thing Tanina can do, says Tosfos, we can't say something that doesn't sound likely. If it sounds too bizarre, too unlikely, that the buck stops here. Short of that, Tanina saves the day. So again, this entire sugya that we're learning is not really Gittin part of the sugya. Our Mishnah says that if it's Gittin, we're not possibly the get. We're not going up to possibly get. We're not going to cause trouble for the woman. We're not going to protect the interests of the husband. In Gittin, we're going to do things that we don't do in Dinim Amunos. But the entire sugya that we learned, complicated, all the convoluted meagles back and forth, was just to show you what the din would have been in Dinim Amunos. But in Gittin, nothing matters. In Gittin, Kol's bad, there's no problem. We're not looking for problems. Dinim Amunos looks for problems to protect people. In Gittin, we're looking for problems.
What's the difference? At the end of the day, we're using the case that's not Shabbos.
Right, that's right, that's right. As long as we're not saying it. As long as we don't tell people, if we publicize that Bezdin is in the business of saying nonsensical times, that's not too good for me. So by saying, we're going to put an end to the sugya of Tanina, at least for now, and we're going to try to get ourselves back into the spirit of things, back into the swing of Gittin proper. So we don't have the next time. We'll give it a little bit of Adama to the next sugya in terms of the Gittin proper. So let's recap for a moment where we started. Maybe you have to say, that's a given that the Mishnah says that the Shaliach comes from Chutzlart, has to recite Fainech Fainech. We had a Machlokes, we spent in the Kishur in the last couple of days talking about the Machlokes Rab and Rava as to why this halacha is necessary. For now, we're going to study Rava's approaches. Rava said, because we're concerned that the Batei Dinim are not proficient enough in Chutzlart. They don't really know all the halachas. And they don't know the halacha of Lishma. And therefore, who knows, the Baal of the gets to the ritual Lishma, they'll get as possible. So come all the Mishonim, and have a very, very strange question. We're trying to analyze the Amaratis to Kabetin. We're trying to analyze these guys, these Batei Dinim in Chutzlart that are not off the par. It's a Lomda Shishayla. Within those Batei Dinim that are not off the par, why do they only not know this? What happened to them? There's nothing all the Shishayla getting. There are 90% of Gittin. There's half of Eben Ezra about Chos Gittin. Somehow you get the impression from Rabbi that everything else they know, and somehow this they forgot. How did that happen? What does that mean? Why does Gemara never pick on all the other problems? There's so many things that go wrong with the get. You want a list of those? Those means give you a list of mile long go wrong on the get. So to those who are with us at the beginning, the people of the dollar, if you're writing get on the Dover Mechubal character, if you're writing get on something that's attached to the ground, the get's possible. If the get is dated wrong, the get is possible. If the get was written without the proper authorization, the get is possible. You want more? If you're in the whole second barrack, the get is written on the wrong kind of papers, written the wrong kind of ink. You need a million different things that go wrong with the get. So all of a sudden, we have the first five lot of the get then. Ein b'kiyah l'shma. How did that happen? What is that all about? So Rabbeinu Tam went up to bat to explain the Amaratis Tikkun Batei Dinim. Rabbeinu Tam is trying to figure out, trying to get into the psyche of those Batei Dinim, my high, that they were ein b'kiyah l'shma. Somehow the rest of the b'chinas l'chus gave their past, and this question they got wrong. What's p'shas? Rabbeinu Tam is a whole way of restructuring, revamping the entire thing. So comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, those magic words that we spoke about earlier, v'she'ein b'kiyah l'shma. That was the case of Rava. My Tana, why do you have to say that? V'she'ein b'kiyah l'shma. Translate for me, please, those words, b'kiyah, ein b'kiyah l'shma. I thought that b'ki means like expertise, like b'kiyah, like you know a lot of knowledge. That's what the word b'ki usually means. So the Gemara says, v'she'ein b'kiyah l'shma, that means this, these Batei Dinim are not knowledgeable about the halachos of l'shma. This is not true. Who doesn't know which Shema is? The ABCs of Chos Gittin. It's Mishnayis, the third pack. Half the third pack of Gittin talks about the Lishma. Everybody knows the Chos of Lo Lishma. Says a bit of Dab. What it means is that the Batei Dinim, they heard it Lishma, they disagreed with it. Everything was true. Everything was right. Says a bit of Dab. But they did it in Chutz Laretz. We don't know who they were. But whichever Rabbanim, whoever Dayanim was supervising Gittin in Chutz Laretz, disagreed with the Tanan, disagreed with the Psak of the Mishnah. They thought there was no such halacha on the Shema. It's not true. So says Rabbeinu Tam, when Chazal say Lefish ain't Bekiyah Lishma, doesn't mean they didn't have knowledge of the Shema. They had God's good knowledge of the Shema. They disagreed with the entire requirement of the Shema by Gittin. It's a whole brand new approach to Rabbeinu Tam. So it's not that the Dayanim, they missed the Bechina, they missed that day of Shia. He went to shul every day. They got 100 on the bechina, but they wrote on the bottom, we don't accept what it says on the bechina. Like Hav Elf Abdullah. Some of you may remember back to the days when you were in high school, the days of taking regents. So, and in New York, you have to take the regents. So there was on the bio regents. There was a whole section on evolution. So I remember, and some of them were yeshivish places. They would make all the boys, before they would fill out those questions, to write a little piece of paper. We don't believe in anything that we're answering. We're only at, according to the sheet of the New York State Board of Regents, this is the correct answer, but we don't believe this. Okay. And ask for when to Mahmoud to. We just let the pastor know it. So to over here, the place says that the body, they know that they accept it, but they don't accept it. They accept that the other day, I don't think it's true, but we personally don't think it's true. So Tessa said that version of Minitam is very creative, but very, very difficult. There, it doesn't seem to fit into the Lashon HaGemara. So one of the big questions that Tessa poses against Minitam's understanding is that from a Gemara that we looked actually just yesterday in the Kiyas, when we spoke at the very end of the Shir yesterday, about how there were different times in history. We said there were some times when the Bnei Din were a little bit better, and the other times when they were a little bit not so proficient. And the Gemara invoked the principle called the Acha Shalomnu. But there was a time in history where the Bnei Din and Chutz Lars, where they learned, where they did become proficient, did become knowledgeable. So according to Bnei Tam, Acha Shalomnu, Lomnu has the connotation that they were ignorant before, and then they became more knowledgeable. According to Bnei Tam, what it should have said is, the achar that they agreed to sign on to the idea of Lishma, the achar that they accepted what the other Tanoim in Eretz Yisrael was saying, the achar shalomdu, that's a very modern phrase, very, very strange way of describing Rabbi Tam's theory as to what happened. O.J. Shalachar says, tells us the entire flow of the Gemara doesn't read smooth according to Rabbi Tam. We're going to talk a lot about this in weeks to come. The Gemara analyzes Rabbah. The Gemara says, according to Rabbah, really, Eimikim Lishma, that the Yonim really truly don't know the Din Lishma, they're not practicing Lishma. Do you really think that's true? If you really think it's true, how many Eidim should you need to prove that it was written Lishma? How are you getting away with one Eid? So Gemara has a whole array of different approaches as to what happened. How do we get away with simply one Eid? So comes the Gemara and concludes, the reason is because Stam suffered the dynamic of the Eid. Well, it says that's true. That every once in a while, somebody out there may not know Lishma in Chutz Lars, that's true, but the overwhelming majority of the Dayanim and the Sofer, the scribes, the guys are literally on the ground, right? They get them, they are knowledgeable. Stam Dani suffered Dani, Megma Gemiri is the Gemara's Lashon. Megma Gemiri, Gemara means knowledge, means knowledge. So Gemara means all the body of knowledge. So comes to us, it says, if Rabbi Tam is right, that we're not questioning the knowledge. According to Rabbi Tam, everybody was great. Everyone was tremendous to be chacham, except they disagreed with what the Tanaim said. So why does the Gemara call them? Oh, Baruch Hashem, we discovered that the Sofrim are Gemiri. We knew they were Gemiri from day one. Everybody was knowledgeable. The Gemara should have been highlighting not their knowledge, but rather their agreement, their consent to follow what the Tosha Rabbah said. So bottom line is, says Tosfos, Rabbi Tam's pshat is very, very creative. That when the Gemara says that Ein Bikin Lishma doesn't really mean Ein Bikin, it really means they didn't concede, but they didn't want to follow what the other Tanaim said. But it doesn't seem to match up to the Lashon Gemara. It doesn't seem to be right. Pashuk Shad is that when the Gemara says Ein Bikin Lishma, it means literally they didn't know. So now Tosfos turns the tables back to the question. So if they didn't know this, so what made them so proficient? What made them so knowledgeable? We do know a ton. The Shachar is starting. Was it at 7 or was it a couple minutes early? It was about 7 o'clock because I don't sleep because we sometimes run into that problem.
Oh, okay.
7 o'clock minutes. Oh, no, it says the Shubat Sasha. I remember we used to jump the gun. Okay. So again, so Tosa says it's very creative what Rabbeinu Tam said that Ein Bikin Lishma doesn't really mean Ein Bikin Lishma. It doesn't seem to be borne out in Lashon HaGemara. Ein Bikin and Acha Shalomdu and Gemiri, none of that seems to point in the direction of Rabbeinu Tam.
And
if they were bound by it, maybe. Oh, that's true. Correct. That's true. But nobody, no Tana do we ever find said there's no little Lishma. The Tosh Rabbah clearly says Lachem is Lishma. So now you can have a detail. There's the Chasim on the Ksiv, that's true. But nobody held it about the Dinim and Chutz Lord, that didn't exist at all. So at the end of the day, we don't really know what the answer
that. No one gave it to the Bara that it didn't exist at all. It doesn't mean that that opinion didn't exist.
Okay. But no, the mice, no one from that we know from Tosh Rabbah really, really held, really, really formally disagreed with it. So most of the Rishonim toast themselves. Quote Rabbi Tam and say they don't believe Rabbi Tam. They don't think Rabbi Tam is the correct shot. So talk about what is it? It's one thing to reject Rabbi Tam. So what is it? How did this other thing happen that they weren't so they were only not proficient in this area? So the Riva, one of the other Balatais, it's quote Rabbi Tam, the Russian saying, it's not true. They didn't know anything. They didn't know Lishma, they didn't know Mechubar, they didn't know this, they didn't know that, they didn't know anything. So why did the Gemara only pick up Lishma? Says the Riva, because Lishma is the most common thing that can go wrong. How often do you think a get is written on a tree and is detached? How often do you think a get is written on the back of an onion peel that's going to disintegrate, therefore it's not kosher to write again? How often do you think that somebody writes a get with fruit juice? All the half of the second breath of get, all the things that could potentially go wrong with a get. I mean, give me a break, says the Riva. But you know what could go wrong? A really, really easy thing to go wrong is Lishma. That's potentially a very, very serious, realistic problem. A get wasn't written in Lishma. And what makes that so realistic? Why is that so common? So that's going to set the stage for the real topic tomorrow, for the real, real alumnus of the Shia. What does it mean that a get has to be written in Lishma? What do the words mean that the get has to be in Lishma? What are we really worried about? So one thing the Rebbe is telling us, it's very common. It can happen all the time. But we're not exactly sure what that means even. Does it mean it was not written in Lishma? Does it mean it was written for somebody else? Does it mean it was found in the garbage and we're reusing it? So there are a lot of different possibilities what in a Lishma means. This from tomorrow, we'll stop with the sugya in terms of what is this considered Lishma that's taking up all our time for.
If anybody's interested in notes from the head of Rabbi Slavsky Shir, Zach Rothenberg has notes on the Shir. If anybody's interested, contact me. He's willing to share his notes.
That's 7:10 work. Yeah, 7:10 to go. I think the